This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to get to Wes Reynolds a little bit later on, breaking down maybe the last normal PGA Tour event we might see in quite some time, the Wyndham Championship, before we get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. Our best bets here. Some viewer emails that are coming on. Going to break down the Tennessee Titans as well, Jensen. Can't wait. Excited about that football team this year. But we love to do it. What goes up must come down. It's time for this week's edition of Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
Jensen, I've won the coin toss I've elected to receive this week. I will begin right there on the north side of Chicago and the south side of Chicago. I know Red Sox have been beating up the White Sox the last couple of days. The Cubs looking really good against the Dodger Blue here, going for the sweep today. And in the bigger picture, if you're in the great second city of Chicago, this is heady days, man. Because, yeah, the White Sox are in first place. Yeah, the White Sox are in first place in August. And the Cubs, even though they're not in first place in their division, they're looking up at the Brew Crew, they might be trying to run them down. And even if they don't do that, Jensen, I think after the trade deadline, smaller moves on the south side, bigger moves on the north side. I think they look at this and go, both teams have said to our fan bases in Chicago, we're trying to win now. And it's enough of passing the buck and waiting till next year and trust the process. And do the, let's go win, baby. Let's go do it right now. We got the capital to go do it. We'll trade away some of those pieces and bring in some key pieces in the bullpen, specifically for Chicago, starting rotation for the Cubs. I think right now, boy, at least in the almost decade I was there, Jensen, even though the Cubs did win a World Series when I was there, for both teams, this is as good as it gets. And I'm trying to recall the last time both teams had high hopes going into September in the same year. So Chicago baseball fans, your stock on both the north and the south side, it is way, way up.
Wild card races, Dave, wherever you may be listening or watching, up there in heaven, Bud Selig, thank you for doing what you did. Because this
there
year, perfect example of why the wild card means so much to so many fan bases. In the American League, Dave, we have six teams within two games of a wild card spot beginning play today. In the National League, we have five teams within 4.5 games, technically five. We've got six teams within 5 games of a playoff spot. So many things can happen week to week. You get hot, things change, but for at least this year, and we hope we get baseball next year. We really do. It doesn't look good right now, but soak it up, America. This is as good as it gets. Scoreboard watching every night, meaningful series, no matter who you're playing, because of all the implications of wins and losses. Stock way up. Major League Baseball wildcard races in 2026.
That's what I love about you, Jensen Lewis. You have a little penchant for history of the game. I know some people think of Bud Selig maybe for the tie in the All-Star game. You should remember him for the wild card because everybody pushed against him when he did it in real time. And I'm so glad that you have a sense of history and as to why it's been a good thing for the game of baseball. It's a great thing right now to be a running back in the NFL. Remember, this was a position that, one, you didn't draft very high anymore, and you certainly did not give second contracts and big renewals to running backs because they're out with yesterday's newspaper, Jensen, onto the new kit. No. Not so fast, my friends. After what you just saw Bijan Robinson get down there in the ATL, I'll remind you, America, 3 years, 75 max extension for Bijan to go with that. That annual average salary is now over $22 million, almost $22.25, 51 guaranteed. And then you look at Saquon Barkley, no spring chicken these days, on his second team, let alone a second contract. He's making over $20 million and helped bring a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. Christian McCaffrey, $19 million. On his second team, by the way, in San Francisco after his beginning years in Carolina, Devon Achane's getting 16, and even the old king, Derrick Henry, making $15 million. We're going to find out what Gibbs gets in Detroit. It's going to be a lot, but I'm actually happy to see that the running back positions, it might be a renaissance right now. Get what you can get in this economy, kids. I'm proud of you. You kind of stuck to your guns as a group and as a position. You did those sit-ins, if you will. Maybe owners, GMs, Jensen in the National Football League, starting to reevaluate how important a good running back can be.
Icing on the cake. I speak only with Jahmyr Gibbs in mind because with Bijan Robinson yesterday, baby.
Bam.
What is this deal going to look like? Jahmyr Gibbs, come on down. Your table is almost ready. Reservations for anyone because of the money you're about to get, my friend. These are two game changers, traditionally going, what, 1-2 in fantasy drafts. The last couple of years, just with the production, what they can do, not only running the ball, but receiving out of the backfield. So stock way up. I'll continue to echo your sentiments, Dave. When you got these kind of game changers, these workhorses, take advantage of them while you can. And boys, get yours. Well done. And hopefully Jahmyr Gibbs gets that life-changing contract just like Bijan Robinson did yesterday.
Great minds think alike, that's for sure. What goes up must come down. And what's coming down to me, while it's great on the in the second city, what about the first city? New York City baseball. Now, look, I know Yankee fans are going to go, what? Why? How do we get included with the Mets mess? Okay. Well, look, I submitted this to Joe Frieza, our esteemed producer, last night before George Lombard had his great debut in that home run. So maybe they can help change my perception. But the bottom line, if we're being honest, Jensen, the Yankees should not be 3.5 games back of the Rays as we're in August. Okay. It's getting late. They're supposed to be above the Tampa Bay Rays with the money they dole out. Speaking of money, nobody spends it any worse than the New York Metropolitans do. They if you're talking about Doge, they should Doge the Mets because they do not know where this money is going. It's never spent properly. And we got to figure this out, Steve Cohen. It starts with you at the top. And if you're going to give David Stearns as the GM the same decision-making that led to what just happened at the trade deadline from last year's disastrous offseason and let the same guy make those decisions against this year, I don't know if next year is going to be any better. Yankees, you can change my perception. Mets, you cannot. It's been an unmitigated disaster in New York City this year for the Metropolitans. So Yankees, still time, but you're starting to run out of it. Mets, that ship has sailed. You better make me a believer next year because I don't see it on the horizon.
A great friend of the program, as Joe Frieza told me, perhaps Elon Musk can get Doge on the Mets to get this thing cleaned up. Maybe that will get her get her figured out. We need to figure out why the substation next to the San Francisco 49ers practice facility continues to be a problem. Is it as simple as moving? Because the data is and the data points and all the injuries that keep stacking up. You tell me, people, conspiracy theorists go wild because it is rearing its ugly head yet again. All these injuries, first week of the preseason, first week of camp. Come on, Dave. It's a substation. Like, let's not try and reinvent the wheel here. Look what's in front of you. Stock way down with all these 49er injuries because that damn substation is still next to the facility.
To quote the late, great Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw. But as Joe Frieza just said, we have the rare double-double because my next stock down was the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh.
And we put these in before we know. Jensen did not know you were going there as well. So not only do we double up on the stock up for the running backs and Jahmyr Gibbs, but we go stock down with the electrical substation and the Niners writ large. I saw a funny tweet out there where they're like, hey, the San Francisco writers were hoping that George Kittle is going to be ready. And the electrical substation does have a Twitter account. And they just said, we'll see. I don't know what's going on with that. It kind of felt like a running joke. And, you know, this can, it's got to be coincidental. I'm kind of with you at this point, Jensen. What's going on with this practice facility? Because guys are dropping like flies, and they seem to be dropping in the receiving core. So, like, Brock Purdy, knock on wood, he's okay right now, but, like, everybody else he's trying to get the football to seems to be going down before we get to week one. That's why you bring Deebo Samuel back off the scrap heap from Washington because, you know, Ricky Pearsall is not walking through that door this year. Mike Evans starting to get dinged up a little bit. We haven't even gotten to preseason yet. So Niners, I want to believe you. Kyle Shanahan had a really rough offseason for things that had nothing to do with football. So, like, I'm starting to worry about this team overall, Jensen. Can they, from the coaching staff to the players, can you stay healthy before you get to week one, San Francisco? It's supposed to be a big three out there in the NFC West. And that's supposed to be you guys, the reigning defendings in Seattle, and this year's favorite in the Rams. I'm starting to have my doubts about the 49ers, about being the third of that big three triumphant. Because, Jensen, as you well know, health is kind of everything. And you start dinging up key positions before you even get to the regular season. And we're going to start doing what the Yankees are doing, hoping that you get all these guys back in time and that they're the same guy they were pre-injury. That is a big ask on a San Francisco team that might be looking at two really good teams in Seattle and the LA Rams in their own division. So, again, the rare double-double that we agree on the running backs and the Niners and the electrical substation as stock down this week. All right, Jensen, when we come back, let's continue the NFL talk because I'm sorry, you have one more, Jensen. My bad. What do you have quickly?
Yeah, that's stock down on you.
I missed
drivers who don't use their turn signal. It's a pandemic in its own right. Let me know when you're changing lanes. This isn't just for you to go wherever you want. Use your turn signal, period. Thank you.
I'm going to cede more of my time next week to you in Stockdown because that was fantastic. We're back. Tennessee Titans on the clock next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Going to get to some viewer emails that have been submitted. We love that you do that at buythebooks@vsin.com, our best bets. And, of course, the great Wes Reynolds is going to break down the Wyndham Championship. But, Jensen, I cut you off in a manner of speaking in the last segment. Did you have a scenario here for one of your stock downs this week? Where did you get cut off by an unruly driver?
I try and use my final stock down each week to address some of the inabilities of people to use logic in our day and age, you know, common sense. Right. You know, I know there was a segment on a cartoon show, you know, what really grinds my gears. So it's in the spirit of that. And, you know, we're driving home from Bedford Springs and Michelle is an aggressive driver when you don't obey the traffic laws. Now for me, you know, when she's in the passenger seat, it is full commentary on how these people, you know, need to get in line to keep it PG. But yeah, we just got people are just moving in between lanes. Like, oh, you didn't want to set a blinker? We're only driving through the mountains here. You know, it's just, we got elevations. We had someone, when you go through a tunnel, Dave, it clearly has signs about a mile out. Do not change,
you can't change
lanes. We got some moron halfway through the tunnel that needs to speed up and try and get past and change his lanes. It's just ridiculous on so many levels.
As I say, if you don't have laws, you've got anarchy. Obey the laws, people, especially in the tunnels. Jensen, that was a good rant. Let's get back to the NFL conversation. The team I'm very intrigued with, the Tennessee Titans, you're under the microscope in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
Somehow, without knowing Brian Daboll or Robert Saleh, I think if you brought that complaint to them, they would understand, Jensen. They seem like old school guys that you need to follow orders and follow laws. It's that simple. With the Titans, I do feel like, and I've mentioned this to you before, that Cam Ward, their young second-year quarterback, is kind of an old soul, and that he likes the discipline that a Robert Saleh and a Brian Daboll might bring to that offense. I think it's exactly what might have been missing in Tennessee the last couple of years. So this year, win total of 6.5 to make the postseason, not mad at it, plus 430 to win the South. We'll get to that in a second. Plus 950 to win the AFC. I don't know about that. 60-1 and the Super Bowl extreme long shots at 125-1. But Jensen, you know this without giving away the store for free. This is a team I'm very excited about here, not too far from where I am in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'll touch on it. I'll hit the preamble and then give us the constitution of the Tennessee Titans here in 2026. So, of course, it is the head coach in Robert Saleh that comes over, gets his second shot at being the head man after being the Jets head coach, went back to be the DC with the 49ers. Now I'm sure he's learned a bit. Well, he brought some reinforcements. You speak of former head coaches. Brian Daboll goes back to being the offensive coordinator, of course, the former head coach of the Giants, and Gus Bradley, former head coach there in Jacksonville, is now your DC. John Fossil, speaking of head coaches, he's not an old fossil, but he is. He's still got a little lead left in his pencil, and he's the special teams coordinator now that's going to be back on this staff. Buddy, they did a great job in free agency. Wandale Robinson, a nice added weapon there, a veteran that's going to be able to help out Cam Ward there 4 years in that $75 million range. His reunion, of course, with Brian Daboll from just a year ago. He's a 1,000-yard receiver in 2025. I think getting some help on the defensive line, Jermaine Johnson, you got in the trade with the Jets. You also got John Franklin Myers, a defensive tackle, 3 years for $63 million. He's a guy very familiar with Robert Saleh. That'll be a great interior pass rush presence. And then, of course, getting the primary weapon. You have a true number one now with your fourth overall selection, taking Carnell Tate from the Ohio State. It was a big surprise on draft night, but that kind of signals, I think, that they are ready to rock and roll as early as this year. And then getting back into round one, Dave, pick number 31, the edge rusher, Keldrick Falk from Auburn. They mean business this year. I give you the floor because I think you feel not only emboldened with this group, but they have a chance to make some waves in the AFC South.
We talk about it a lot, and you normally do see a worst to first somewhere in the National Football League. This is one of those opportunities that I see that is a real possibility. I know it's a 3-win team a year ago, but that win total of 6.5 should tell you, and by the way, even money, minus $1.10 either way, okay? It's not juiced heavily one way or the other, that the books are respecting this team, at least in that win total, to jump up 4 wins to get to the over. Guess what? I've already bet it. And I've already bet the adjusted win total at 7.5 at plus money. And I bet the Titans at 9-1. You can get 950 out there to win this division. I think it's very plausible. You nailed the reasons why. Not only did they draft really well, and I did think that the Tate signing at wide receiver, or drafting rather, with the signing of Wandale Robinson, shows me that Brian Daboll knows that his quarterback is ready to get it out to weapons. Give him the weapons, and I got the guy that can do it. I mentioned quarterback room a lot. I like the fact that Mitchell Trubisky is the backup. We talked a little bit about Will Levis. I don't know if he's going to be on the roster because Will still sees himself as a starting quarterback somewhere out there, which is great. He should do that. But maybe they could use that kind of like they did a couple years ago when they traded away Malik Willis, and we see what he's become now down there in Miami. That could be a Will Levis story. But the quarterback room is deep. It really is, with a lot of NFL experience in it. And ironically, Cam Ward's the guy that has the least amount of it. But boy, was he playing well in the second half until he got injured very late in the year. And again, old soul, young body, adults in the room. You mentioned that coaching staff. It is littered with guys that know exactly what they're doing. They don't necessarily care about getting the credit. They care about winning. And that's going to go a long, long way with this group. Those guys going into that place this year, when they show up to lace them up at preseason, training camp, practice, it's business, baby. It's going to be about business. And they're going to weed out the guys that don't want it. And they're going to keep the guys that do. And I know one thing about Robert Saleh. Maybe he failed as a head coach with the Jets. Well, he can just add to the long litany of guys that have failed with the Jets. And maybe there's bigger problems there than just the head coaches. He has been wildly successful as a coordinator. Did Brian Daboll fail as a head coach with the Giants? He was coach of the year, by the way. Did take them to the playoffs way back in the day. Well, he was wildly successful as of offensive coordinator and was one of those guys that you attribute to Josh Allen becoming the quarterback that he's become back in his Buffalo Bills days before he ever took that job with the New York Football Giants. So, Jensen, I know that they have adults in the room leading this football team, and guys in the NFL want to be led. That's one of the biggest misnomers out there, that these adults, they want to be treated as adults. Yeah, they do. But they want to be coached, and they want to be coached hard, and I know that's what Cam Ward wants, and they're going to get that this year. I look at the schedule, Jensen. I don't think that the division is overly daunting. I get why they're the fourth-place team coming in based on what happened last year, but I'm not convinced that Daniel Jones is going to be 100% back to being what he was with the Colts. I'm not convinced that Liam Coen and the Jags have everything completely figured out. I have my doubts now for the first time about C.J. Stroud. Love the defense they have in H-Town, but I'm not sure about the offense there with the Texans. So to me, I can put the Titans right in there with the Texans and with the Jags and with the Colts and say that they might not be better, but I think they might be closer to on par than what people in the betting market might realize. So to me, this is a play-on team. Over 6.5, over 7.5. Taking a shot on that worst to first this year. I don't like this football team, Jensen. I love it. I think the sky's the limit this year in year number two for Cam Ward.
Okay, I have asked you this question every team that we have broken down because many out there listening are starting to map out their survivor schedules and where they want to pick teams. I told you if you wanted to win Circa Survivor or win your competition, the Las Vegas Raiders over Miami in week one might be an advantageous place to play them. Tennessee Titans at home against the New York Football Jets with a caveat. Guess who's 11-2 ATS against Tennessee since 1998? That are your New York Jets. Oh, sweaty time. What, 3.5, 4-point favorites Tennessee is? Are you going to take your Titans because of how bullish you are? Because where else are you going to use them to start? Then you're home against Philly. You're on the road against the Giants, on the road against Baltimore, home against Houston, on the road against Indianapolis. I mean, the first six games, if not week one, I don't even know if you want to take a shot at home against the Browns in week seven. I think week one would be your shot.
Again, my inner Gil Alexander is saying, do you want to survive or do you want to win? And if I want to win, it's the reason why last year at this time I took the Colts in week one against the Dolphins and nobody was making that selection then, right? I am definitely with my partner, John Chu, and I know Chewy's listening. We're going to be considering the Titans week one against the Jets. Are we trying to win? Are we trying to survive? Might be a really good spot. Look, you could try to wait if you wanted to see how good they are to week seven at home against the Browns. Could be another spot, but you're right, Jensen. If you're going to win this thing, you're going to have to take the Tennessee Titans, a three-win team at some point, to win a game this year. So tread lightly, but I love where your brain's at there, and I think week one should be a strong consideration in Circa Survivor. Best bets are up next, and a very interesting question in our viewer mail. That's all next right here. Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books right here on Beeson.
The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. And right now, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, if you haven't signed up, you can sign up today. You're going to get instant access to this college football betting guide. It is spectacular. Previewing all 138 FBS teams, preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from all of the sharpest minds here at the network. Also with that, when you sign up, you'll get the NFL betting guide. There will be an addendum coming to that here soon. The Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. And you can head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, we love the inquiries we get right now. And again, you can send us your inquiry at buythebooks@VSiN.com. We ask you just to submit your name, city, state that you're residing from. We appreciate that just to kind of get a feel from where people are watching and listening to us on a daily basis. And we got this one from John White And this is from Monrovia, California. And John says, I can't help wondering, when was the last time Paul Skeens was an underdog? I'm submitting the question to Dave and Jensen, America's two best sports betting broadcasters, as I see it.
Yes.
Well, John, that is very kind, and we appreciate that. And Jensen, we were kind of talking about this a little bit. You don't see it very often, but, you know, I kind of bit the bullet a little bit, and I played Paul Skeens as a dog. That didn't work out very well here, and we're seeing it again today, Paul Skeens as an underdog, to John's point.
Yeah, plus $1.19 underdog, the Pirates with Paul Skeens today against the Brewers and Kyle Harrison, minus $1.27. Brewers the home favorite. To answer your question, John, Joe Friso into the VSiN library and was able to pluck the answer. It actually has happened recently, Dave, this year, July 1st in Philadelphia, Paul Skeens an underdog against Zach Wheeler. So that makes sense. Okay, you got Wheels at home against the Phillies. That definitely makes sense. Philadelphia did win that game 10-6. So today, if I'm kind of looking at where it sizes up, let me refresh the screen here to see what the latest data tells us. Tell you what, if you're looking at Brewers Pirates and just seeing where some of the percentages are, man, it feels like momentum carries a little bit. I'm a little shook, Dave, about Skeens the last two times out. Again, it's 5 earned runs in each of his last 2 starts. And I think that is more indicative of maybe some of the opponents too. And looking at his 2 starts, do you want to buy in that his last 2 starts? Okay. First at home against the Cubs, he got absolutely torched. That was an 11-0 defeat, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 5 runs. He did punch out 11, but then in Cincinnati only goes 4 innings, 5 earned on 7 hits, but he had the 4 walks and only 7 strikeouts. This, if you want to fade him again, this is the spot to do it, because the flip side is you do have Kyle Harrison and the Brewer offense that I think kind of figured a few things out. Jared Jones was going decently well, and then the elevated pitch count got him out in the game yesterday. If you look at his final line, that was tough, because I think Pittsburgh could have really continued some momentum in their own right. Goes 4 innings, the 8 hits, 3 runs, and gives up the 2 homers. Only 83 pitches, and that's kind of been where his max has been. He had thrown 83 on July 24th and then 81 previously on June 27th. So they've really kind of kept him, you know, at bay, because they got their eyes on October here. So you got to have Jared Jones healthy and below that innings threshold to be able to be a contributor. I don't want to play it yet. I'd like to see some lineups here and see what Pat Murphy is going to run out there. I would assume it's pretty similar, but I would say the lean right now is the Brewers to get it done here against Paul Skeens and the Pirates.
John, great question. I will say this, as Jensen and Joe Friso recalled, I was on Paul Skeens that day in the city of Brotherly Shove. And the crazy thing was, they got him early runs. And then if you go back to that outing here against Hunter Green and the Reds, they got him early runs. It's not like one of those deals when Jacob deGrom was pitching for the Mets and he's pitching lights out and they could never get him any runs. They're actually scoring some runs for Skeens the last couple times out, and he has not held up his end of the bargain. John, I'm a little bit nervy about backing Paul Skeens, and I'm with Jensen on this. If you made me play it, which I have not yet, I might be getting to the window on Kyle Harrison and company. I think it's a cheap price on the Brewers at minus $1.30 at this juncture here. So, man, it's kind of like that, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So it'd be shame on me if I go back to the well and Skeens as a dog. That did not work out very well. And again, even against Hunter Green and the Reds, when they scored runs for him, they scored at will, it seemed like, against Paul Skeens. So something is amiss. I go back to that start in Toronto early in the year where they have the camera on Livy Dunn. And so I think the first pitch of the game, Jensen, to Springer Dinger, and he gives up the bomb. And I can't repeat what she said, but she was shocked. Let's put it that way. So I think we're seeing shocking performances now coming from Paul Skeens lately. And again, John, you're not going to see it very often, but you do see it again as a dog. And I think that's priced accordingly, and probably a reason why Milwaukee should be a $1.30 betting favorite today. Jensen, you saw something from Akron with the Zips that you wanted to bring to the people's attention. What did you see out there in the Twitter sphere?
Yeah, speaking of starts, if you become a season ticket holder for Akron football this year, by the way, season tickets beginning as low as $75, one lucky fan will be able to script the opening drive as an offensive coordinator, if you will, in their home opener. Let me read that again. One lucky fan will be able to script the opening drive in our home opener. This is from the Akron Zips official social media post. Extra chance to win with every new season ticket holder you refer. It's going to be a random drawing among season ticket holders, and that drawing will be held on August 19th. And they do have some fine print here, Dave. It says, with the head coach, of course. You can be offensive coordinator of the game. This hasn't been done before, but we're not crazy. That is phenomenal stuff. Well done. If anything, the engagement is great. Secondly, season tickets low as $75. You know there's going to be people out there that just want to buy them just to be part of the drawing to get a chance to do it. And third, I've already seen some of the reaction on social media where people have been photoshopping or at least screen grabbing, you know, some of the Madden NFL plays or college football, you know, from the various video game platforms and showing the four verticals. First play from scrimmage, four verticals, send them deep. Let's go. I think it's hysterical, but B, what a great engagement promotion. Well done, yes. University of Akron. That is a great, great job out of you.
Shout out to my guy, Tim Doyle. We've had him on the program many times. We'll have him on again. Timmy and I used to say in Tim's line about a decade ago when the Padres just couldn't score runs, we would call them family and friends games only. That's it seems like here for $75 to be a season ticket holder at Akron. And then Tim would say, hey, if you go to the Padres game and they fall back by five runs or more, maybe you get to hit fifth and play some outfield. I mean, it is amazing some of the things you have to do to try to get people to go to your games, but good on Akron to try to get them out there. So I don't know what play I would call Jensen, but that would be a lot of fun. But I love the fine print that it is in unison with the head coach. So the head coach is going to have to sign off on whatever play the fan decides to call, but it is spectacular. Hey, we're going to talk to Wes Reynolds coming up next. Can't wait to get his thoughts here. You gave out earlier betting the build. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. And I did mention two of the Americans that I'm keeping my eye on this week, two young guns out there in the PGA Tour, Blades Brown, who you have in your bet the build as well. I did play him first round leader. And Jensen got about 60-1 first round leader, small pizza money play here on Blades Brown for first round leader. And I did play Maverick McNealy 45-1 for first round leader picks. So those are officially up if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. I'll be adding to that card as well. Do you have any plays already in for the Wyndham, or are you still waiting in Major League Baseball to see those lineups today before we get to some of those official plays? Because you were on fire yesterday.
Yeah, I'm debating sitting out the Wyndham and just having bet the builds. That remains to be seen later today. Three plays for baseball. One of the early matchups today: Astros -1 on the alternate run line, -$1.21 for 2 units against the Toronto Blue Jays. Just again, I'm going to carry the momentum night game into a day game. Also like that Hunter Brown in 4 of the 5 home starts he's had this year, Dave. The Astros have won by at least 2 or more runs. Toronto is underwater, covering the run line as a road dog at 10-12. So I do like the Astros -1 for a 2-unit play. Couple of +1.5s we're going to take for 2.5 units. Guardians +1.5, -$1.70 against the Mets. This is Tanner Bibee, who is going to get the start against Christian Scott. Last 4 starts for Bibee at home have been great, or just overall, 2.77 ERA, and the Mets have dropped 2 of the last 3 road starts for Christian Scott. Runs at a premium, I think, in that one tonight, but I think the Guardians keep it close, as do, I think, the Kansas City Royals. Dean Kramer, ooh, Twins debut, last 2 starts, 12.60 ERA, 16 hits in his last 10 innings with 3 homers allowed. Noah Cameron for the Royals, back-to-back starts, allowing no runs. Give me the Royals, +1.5, -$1.86 at the K tonight.
Don't let my Royals get hot. Just kidding. I hope they do get hot. When we come back, Wes Reynolds is going to join the program here, get his thoughts on the Wyndham Championship. That's next right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
are back. Beasts and Bottle Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. We always look forward to the conversations this time every Wednesday with Wes Reynolds. Does a great job as a betting analyst. And again, you got to check out Long Shots Podcast with Wes and Kelly Bidwin and Matt Brown. They do a great job each and every week, wherever you get your pod. Give them a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, the number one, and joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Before we get to the Wyndham Championship, and if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, you will see that Wes is rocking a little IU garb to kick off the show today. Got to ask you, Wes, when you look at the Big Ten and you look at Indiana, has it hit you yet that you guys are the reigning defending champions of college football this year?
Yeah, Dave, it's starting to hit me because now it's like it was this irrelevant program that most people nationally didn't care about. And now all the hubbub and the chatter is about, oh, well, your schedule isn't that great. And now it's like Indiana's a target. Now it's like, okay, all of a sudden people care about Indiana when you win the national championship. And I think it's great. I it's better than being irrelevant and coming off. I was saying this on Long Shot yesterday. I was like, because we were promoting the betting guide, of course, that's now out. You can get it at VSiN.com. And we were talking about, you know, it's great to be coming off a season where you didn't go 3-8. It's great to be coming, and you look a lot more forward to the season when you're a national champion, defending national champion. But chapter three, as Kurt Cignetti calls it, you know, going to turn the page and look forward to the future. And a loaded Big Ten, which I wrote up for the VSiN betting guide, with Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana. The usual suspects right at the top.
great spot by you with JBT yesterday. I was driving home. I told him this morning, I'll tell you the same. I am very intrigued to see where my Buckeyes end up and what the collision course will be like in Bloomington. What will those teams look like at that point? Speaking of collision courses, final event here on the PGA Tour before we get to the playoff. I was joking with Dave, as someone who just played a Donald Ross course in Pennsylvania, Bedford Springs, just this past weekend, I am very aware of what accuracy is paramount over distance in this setup. So I'm anticipating, Wes, that is where you began your card at the top, and maybe a familiar name there in Hideki Matsuyama to lead it off.
Yeah, it is, Jensen, in terms of a Donald Ross design where fairways are a little bit narrow. You got to be accurate. You don't have to necessarily be long. This is a par 70, about 7,100 yards. So one of the shorter end courses where guys that are just straight off the tee and guys that stay out of the rough are guys that usually succeed here. And then plus you add in the greens, which all slope from back to front. Basically, and they're going to be fast too. These are going to be different than the greens these guys have been playing on the last few weeks because these are Bermuda. So, you know, a little bit smoother, going to be 12 and a half, 13 on the stimp. And I did start with Matsuyama, who I'm just going with good form here. And his number got knocked down a little bit because of the withdrawal from Patrick Cantlay on Monday. Mm-hmm. But T5 last week in Detroit and then was third in Minneapolis the week before. He led the field for tee to green last week and was also second on approach and, you know, making all of his cuts. I know that, you know, you have these no cut events, but it's still, you know, I think pretty significant that you make the weekend in every event all season. And I think 34 in a row dating back to last May, it's really the driver, Jensen, that's kind of held him back a little bit this season. But he's gained strokes in off the tee in each of his last four. This is not a place where you're going to get into a lot of trouble necessarily off the tee. And if he keeps hitting his irons very well, even though when you watch him, he takes his one hand off the club like every single time, man. Like, oh, I hit a bad shot, and then he stiffs it to like 10 feet and he's looking at birdie. So Matsuyama, he kind of fit the bill for me. And of the guys on the shorter end of the board, I preferred him in lieu of Cameron Young, who is the defending champion here. But I also wonder, like, why is he here? He is secure in the FedEx Cup points and in all the playoff events. I think it's maybe because he's played golf in the state of North Carolina at Wake Forest. Maybe he's kind of feels like he's obligated to be here. So Matsuyama at the top end is where I went to first.
Yeah, that helicopter finish. If you've got bets on Hideki, you're going to go, oh, no, where is that going? Oh, it's right down the middle or it's right there on the green. Sometimes it's very deceiving what he does, Wes. You know, you look the last couple of weeks in the PGA Tour and you've got the young Americans like Jackson Quaven winning in Minnesota and then Michael Thorbjørnsen winning for the first time in the PGA Tour last week in Detroit. Could when you look at a guy like Blades Brown at 19 years young, that's going to be in this field this week, kind of straddling the tours right now, where are you on guys like that? Is this the year of the young American? Could that continue this week?
Yeah, there's a couple guys, Dave, that I played on the card this week. It's almost like a FOMO because I had the FOMO the last couple of weeks because it's like Jackson Koivin's going to win really soon. And then he wins his third PGA Tour start. And then Michael Chorbornson is a guy who I had backed and didn't back last week. And it's like it's a matter of time. They all came from PGA Tour U, where their college points got them a tour card. Well, Blades Brown said to heck with that and just bypassed college altogether. And he's playing on the Corn Ferry for the most part this year, with the exception of some sponsor exemptions on the PGA Tour. He's ninth on the points list, top 20, by the way, at the end of the season, get their PGA Tour cards. But he's going to maybe try to skip the line and get right on tour with a win here. And you're right about his pedigree. 3 years ago at age 16, he was the youngest medalist ever in the history of the U.S. amateur in stroke play. And that broke the record of one Bobby Jones. So this guy has a lot of expectations and a lot of pedigrees. Four top sixes on the Corn Ferry. Plus, he was third at the Puerto Rico Open earlier this spring. And these young guys, like you mentioned with Koivin and Chorbornson, they're capable of showing, I think, that they're able to win on the PGA Tour. And the obvious form is there. And another guy played a little bit longer odds, Ben James, fits into that. He actually does come from PGA Tour U, was at University of Virginia, fifth player ever to be a first-team All-American all 4 years of his career. Hasn't really gotten as close. He's made 7 of 8 cuts, did have a T4 at the Corrales Punakana last month, but Ben James at 80-1, I think, is another one of these young guys that are ready. And, you know, maybe it's a FOMO because like, oh, man, I missed out on Koivin. I missed out on Chorbornson. I don't want to miss out on these kids.
No doubt. And I think the missing out part is an interesting angle for this week, because we obviously know this is the final tournament before we get to the playoff. Wes, did that factor in as far as guys that still are on the outside looking in that have a shot if they play well here at this tournament to find their way in? Or was that not as much of the handicap for you?
It wasn't as much of the handicap for me, Jensen. I think maybe you could use that in some of the placement market scenarios, like, you know, top 20s, 30s, 40s, going on down, because I put it in my article up at VSiN.com, what some of these guys need in order to make the top 70 next week in Memphis, to make that FedEx St. Jude. And some of the guys, look, if you win the tournament, you're probably going to be in, but some of the guys absolutely have to win the tournament. If they finish second, too bad. They're not going to be in the top 70. And some of these guys need like a three-way tie for third or a four-way tie for sixth or what have you. So I didn't necessarily look at that. I went with the guys that I think just kind of fit the profile and the guys that are playing well, because you've seen the recent trends, at least the last 5 years, every single Wyndham Championship winner had at least one top five within 5 starts. So basically like 2 months leading into the event. So I think you want to stick with the guys that have just been playing consistent golf for most of the season.
Wes, let me ask you a bigger picture question here with the influx of this young talent on the American side, with that President's Cup coming up at the end of next month here, after the FedEx Cup playoffs. Would you be apt to take some of the younger guys on a team like that? No disrespect to the international team, but we normally win that. I think we're about a $4 betting favorite to get it done. Would you take more liberties with that team than, say, a Ryder Cup next year over there in Ireland? Not to say it's got more gravitas, but I think we know that it does. Would you take more liberties with some of these younger guys as captain's picks potentially in the President's Cup?
Yeah, the captain actually yesterday, Dave, was asked about this, Brant Snedeker, who, of course, he's a 2-time winner, by the way, of this event. So I wouldn't shock me to see him play well, even though he kind of plays a part-time schedule now. But he's the President's Cup captain. He was asked about this, and he doesn't feel obligated to take like a young guy. But, you know, if a guy's ready to go, he's ready to go. And you have some of these guys that maybe aren't the sure things, like the Patrick Cantlays or the Ricky Fowlers, who have been a little bit up and down. So you have these young guys, or maybe these new guys like Ryan Gerard, who also made the card this week. And I think that's one of the main reasons he's here. He's from North Carolina originally, but he wants to make that President's Cup team and get himself in the mix. And he's been close to a win 3 times this year, 3 runners-up. So I definitely think President's Cup certainly plays into motivation that shouldn't get ignored with all the lead up into the FedEx Cup playoffs next week.
Absolutely fantastic breakdown, as always. Again, everybody, please check out Long Shots. And Wes, I can't wait to see what your Indiana Hoosiers do for an encore this year with Kurt Cignetti, the mad mastermind. He is fun to watch in many different respects. Wes, appreciate your time, as always. Everybody, we know if you're out there and you've been watching VSiN. By the way, I want to give a shout out to my dad, his birthday today as well. Dad watches every day as well as you do out there, America. We appreciate you. So again, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game coming up next with Dustin Swedison and Kelly Bidlin, who's a part of that Long Shots crew. They're all straight ahead right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.